Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
So yeah, I can't get enough of like of the Blue Origin like dick rocket memes, photos, making fun of it. My favorite is comparing it to a magic wand. Have you seen that photo?
I have not. However, I'll tell you this. When I heard about it, I was like, I don't give a shit about it. I honestly didn't. And I was at work. And then I was on BuzzFeed, and the first thing I saw was like talking about the Bezos mission up to space. And I see the rocket, and literally the first thing I thought of was Austin Powers.
Dr. Evil.
Yes. And immediately, like as soon as I started to scroll up, I saw all the memes that was referencing that. And I was like, I don't know if this is validation, but I'll take every little bit of it.
I like the idea. And I think I kind of did the same thing where it's like you're at work. You have a minute to check it on your phone. You see that it's a dick shaped rocket he's taken to space. And you just are basically, yeah, that checks out. And then back you go to work. Welcome to Sidework Podcast, guys. I am your host, Andrea Wallace.
I am your other host, Brooke Van Poppelin. And joining us today, that friendly voice you just heard is one of our buddies and first-time guests, long-time listeners. Please welcome Jared Hayes, everybody.
Hi. And just to let you ladies know, because I got a reputation to keep, I'll Venmo you both a dollar just to keep it on the low that I'm a friendly guy.
That you're a friendly fellow.
Yes,
we have been paid to say that officially. Yes,
absolutely.
He's actually one of our sponsors, and part of the contract is he has to be on the podcast once a month now.
Yep.
Or else we're going to get it.
Yeah.
Can I just say, I definitely missed some opportunities yesterday because I can't get enough of that Bo Burnham special and his Jeffrey Bezos songs. I just want to sing all day. Jeffrey Bezos, Jeffrey Bezos.
You did it.
You did it. Congratulations.
He went to space. Good for him.
He did. It reminds me, though, like every other person who's like struggling to find a job and an identity in this it's not a post-pandemic. It's return of the pandy for the unvaxxed at the moment, which we won't get too heavy into it. You can't not talk about it. It is. But, you know, people being like, oh, great. That fucking turd went to space for 11 minutes. I just also watched the Summer of Soul documentary about Black Woodstock.
It's so good.
We have to talk about that. Probably offense, but
so
it was
good.
Unreal.
But it so is. Good. Isn't it so good? But it is completely mirroring the summer of 1969. Mm-hmm. Black, like that festival took place the same day that Americans put a man on the moon. Yeah. And so they were interviewing all of the Black folks at the festival. And they're like, yeah, how about we work on poverty?
Exactly.
And racism. I don't give a fuck about a bunch of privileged people in space.
I had seen that footage before. I had seen that footage before. And it was like, I was like, it's just so great. And talk about, so it's also at the same time Woodstock happened for people who haven't seen this Summer of Soul. Basically in 1969, the summer, there was a series of concerts that took place in Harlem. Now this was the festival of peace, love, and happiness, in my opinion. It's right after Dr. King was murdered, assassinated. And this was their answer to, like, keep everybody just chill and a community together and, like, get together and, like, sing and dance. And, like, that's way more peace and happiness than fucking Woodstock. In my
opinion. Yeah. Because,
like, other than, like, Santana on acid, you know, having the set of his life.
Yeah. Over there, what does he say? Battling the snake or fighting the snake. That's what he said that it was, that face he was making. But yeah, like, I even said after I saw it the first time, because I've seen this movie twice on Hulu and twice in the theater. There's one, you know, there's one not far from where I'm living right now that is an amazing theater. But after the first time I saw it, it's like, I think I know the definite answer to the question, which is, you know, when people give it to you, like, what time in history do you ever want to go visit if you could? 1969, Harlem, New York. That's where I want to go. The summer of 1969, because that was 6 whole weeks of just unreal, amazing music of all genres. And, oh, man, that was to be a fly on a tree.
Absolutely.
Or to actually be that guy who was watching it from the tree. I was like, now that's how you get a really good seat at this festival.
How you doing, brother?
Yeah. We will get into the topic of the show, but I say this a lot, where I have spent a lot of my life not feeling like I was made for these times. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like in some ways I just relate a lot harder. And it's hard to say, like, the person that I am now with the information I've been able to glean, would I have been the same? You know, it's hard to say. I would hope that being in those times and thinking I would still be the same way and care about the same social causes. Hard to say. It's just, I'm just sitting here going, like, seeing Nina Simone on stage in the park, like, Jesus Christ, you know? I mean, like, I only got to see Sharon Jones once, and she's gone before her time, and just all of these icons, and I'm like, David Bowie and Prince are gone. I'm like, I don't belong in 2021.
I'm gonna tack on if we're on this subject and we're going down this road.
Yes.
There is another docuseries on Apple TV called 1971. And I don't know if it's basically about all the music that was released in 1971. Okay. And they've paralleled it, like, a lot with what's happening, like, politically and, like, the zeitgeist at the time in a lot of ways, which is, you know, very reflective of what's happening in the world right now. And, you know, as far as civil rights and movement. But I would suggest to watch that as well, because it's very, very good. And Brooke specifically talked a lot about how glam rock, especially T-Rex, kind of when there was this post-Beatles, you know, generation, this first wave of Britpop came out, and then everything kind of fell flat. And there was nothing to do, and nobody knew who they were. That's like when T-Rex pounced in the scene. You know what I mean? And that's where you're laying. Like, that's when you would be like, yeah, these are my feels. These are my people. You know?
Yeah. God, if I could go back in time and, like, actually enjoy a genre of music, it will probably be 90s hip hop for me, because I was just going into the double digits around that time. going along with that, my very first concert, and I tell people this all the time, some don't believe me, some do, but it was Paul McCartney.
Yeah,
so was mine.
Yeah,
amazing. No,
he was my very first concert. I don't know how my mom, God bless her, I love her to death, but she got tickets to see him. This was when we were still back in Columbia, South Carolina, where I'm originally from.
Would that have been the Flaming Pie tour? I'm just gonna throw it out there.
Or the Biker Like an Icon tour in 1994.
It was it was the 92, 93.
That might also be,
Yeah. And my mom got tickets, and we were sitting in the nosebleeds of Williams-Brice Stadium, Cox. And that was my first concert that night. I say changed my life, because, like, from that moment on, I was just a fan of instruments and a fan of instrumentation. Cool. And
full-throated endorsements of documentaries and excitement for returning to concerts. Mm-hmm. Oh, guys. Before we do, like, a really, you know, dive in fully with you and get more of your background, we, of course, have a little pre-shift at the top of the show. Nothing
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, like I swear this isn't an episode of Dogs in Space, guys. We're really moving on to like, really moving on.
I love to- that. I love that podcast as well, by the way. But we're not here for that. We're not here for that.
We're not here for that. So, hey, I wanted to say thank you guys so much. I think the problem with people not wanting to claim t-shirts and posters is you all make an assumption that we're just inundated with fans. It was quite the opposite. And when I made it very clear that I was like, no, they're all available, then you all wrote in like, it's so cute that you thought you missed your chance. Everyone's like, I don't know if I made it. I'm like, you're number one. So I will be dropping that all in the mail this week. And we appreciate you guys subscribing, reviewing, and rating. It's awesome and it helps us. So let's just jump into some headlines real quick.
Yeah, absolutely. First, I'll take this first one. Should I?
Yeah.
So LA Taco, here's a whole list of growing bars in the LA scene. You're not able to go inside and drink at unless you show proof of vaccination. Now, this, if you guys didn't know, numbers are growing across the country. Numbers are definitely growing in Los Angeles.
Our mask mandate is back as of last Saturday night.
Yeah, I think people are just trying to figure out how to navigate that. And there were a couple of bars, I know for a fact, on this list, Gold Line specifically, prior to the mask mandate dissolving, they did require you to show proof of vaccination. But now here we are, mask mandate is back in effect. We've got all these businesses who are just trying to save their own fucking business and asses and not get sick from unvaccinated people who are probably carrying the Delta virus, are asking for proof of vaccination at the door and or a negative test result within 72 hours of arrival into the city. So shit's getting real. And you know what? I've been saying this, you guys. I've been like, no more fucking Mr. Nice Guy. No more like, if you get vaccinated, you get beer and you get entered into a raffle to win tickets to whatever. Like, you don't, no, if you don't play, you don't get to be a part of stuff. If you're not
point,
a member, you don't get to be a part of a club. I'm sorry to say, you know?
No, Quaylen lives in Ohio. And I mean, he's like, fuck it. I'm going to enter into the $1 million lottery that they're putting, you know, they're having vaccinated people. If you get vaccinated, you get entered into like a prize. It's like no more prizes. What's going to happen now is you're not welcome. Yeah, like that phase is gone and you don't get, do you go, you got to get out of the pool, folks. You fucking took a dump in the pool and now you got to get out. And this particularly, I chose this headline because it is the cross section of everything in your life, Jarrett. The fact that A, you're a door guy and check IDs. So not only does this now fall on your head, an extra layer of freakouts, but you also were safe as can be and you still caught COVID because of dumbasses.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that particular establishment is actually looking for other door guys as we speak. They keep advertising. And I don't know if that's because someone else like may have quit or left or whatever. But yeah, that was interesting because, again, like I will stand by this till the day is blue and I end up dying, but
no, that's not gonna happen.
No. Yeah, not for a while. Anyway, but
I'm just really adding drama to your point. You know.
Yes, thank you. No, but I honestly thought it was a sinus infection. That's what it felt like, and it didn't really affect me because, like I also mentioned, I had a night job where I was literally running up and down 4 flights of stairs, about 20 times a night, collecting trash. And that didn't slow me down. I didn't feel winded. I didn't feel or like extra winded or anything. And that's what like really freaked me out about it. And when I found out, and then I posted the information, and I was like basically put out a general warning saying, hey, if you were around me, please go get checked, you know, because that's the responsible thing to do. And then then I get a call from one of the people that worked at the bar, and basically is like, what would you do that? What would you put that out on the internet and all this other stuff? It's like, well, one, you know, I was trying to be responsible. And he's like, you know, there's people in the area that's trying to shut us down and all this other stuff because we're open. And I was like, but I was as safe as possible. I literally
wore my mask the entire time.
Yeah. I was maxed. I kept distance as best as I possibly could. And yeah, I mean, like, what else could I have done? And then, like, on my birthday was my first day back, which is February 19th. And then a couple of weeks later, I get a text saying, hey, you mind coming in early? I was like, sure. And as soon as I drove past the building, I looked in. It was empty, but I saw the owner. And I was like,
God.
Okay, I think I know where it's going.
What the ever, yeah. Dude.
Fuck, I know.
You don't need that fucking job.
No, yeah, no, absolutely not. And then, like, it was actually kind of funny because I get a text from the place that I currently work at that we'll probably discuss because of this t-shirt right here.
Okay.
He was like, hey, you, we need a door guy. I was like, I'm still over at this other place, but I'll see what I can do. And that's when I messaged back that, yeah, I was let go from that job. And I called and was like, all right, come back next week. And I've been doing door stuff ever since. So
nice. So I'm glad it was at least a smooth transition from like the bullshit to be put through. I'm pretty certain, and I know letting it go, but like you can't fire somebody for like being safe during a pandemic and being like, hi, I have this, you know, make sure you're okay too. Yeah. It's just a fucked up perspective. And like getting back to this article a little bit, you know, before we move on, there are a lot of people plotting bars that are like basically are in fact asking for ID. But of course there's the people who, and I know this, you know, from hearing things that happened again at Goldline when they were doing this in the beginning, it's like one person finds out and then they start the fucking QAnon phone tree, you know, and everybody's just like, ping, 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 like shut this fucking place down. Let's all go protest. They're infringing with our rights. And they're like, no, you are more than happy to sit outside as an unvaccinated person. Like you have, this is just the smoking section. The smoking gun section and like the vaccinated section. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of how I feel about it. And
the vaccinated gets AC.
I think this is very light in comparison to what actually might be happening in the next few months and the true divide that this may create solely for businesses to be able to stay open and survive. Mm-hmm. People are going to get desperate. More desperate than before. Can you imagine if we have another fucking lockdown? Like what's going to happen? Like,
or, you know, I really think it's very ill-advised, but if you know that this will be the backlash to the response, it'll be like COVID positive only bar. And if you have a vaccine, if you know, they're like, you get the fuck out of here, you inoculated bitch.
I mean, and, it's definitely going to be like both sides, of course, but it's been like that already. You know what I mean?
Here's the thing. And this is like, again, it's so much to unpack with what's wrong with the mentality of this country is people are very, very confused about what rights actually are. It's just like, hey, listen, no one's making you get it. So you aren't actually being infringed upon the way that people say you can't, you know, like free speech. It's like, yes, you can say what you want to, but there are repercussions and people don't have to like it and people don't have to want to work with you because that's their freedom of speech. They're also expressing saying, I really don't like this hateful, racist or whatever person. So it's, you know, people are just very confused. What they want is consequence-free culture, and that's why they're really, really mad. And it's like, you don't have to get the vaccine, babies. You don't. But when people are like, get the fuck out of my blood, sweat, and tears business where I want to keep my own ass safe and my customers who've done the work and everyone else, like, hit the bricks, man, you know?
Absolutely. And like, we don't know everybody's walk of life and why they're not getting it and why they have been like, I don't know.
If you want it, here's the thing. And I've had a lot of really great neutral discussions because I know some listeners who think we're lefty liberal elites, which, okay, whatever. It's like, this is a service industry podcast. Calm down. Have you heard the part where we work in restaurants and bars and we're facialists and, you know, I fucking host karaoke in a bar, okay? Having the COVID talk, it just is really, it's tough, it's exhausting. And I've had really good measured just chats with people at the bar, you know, when you walk in and you're like, how do you feel about this? Just customers, every walk of life. And everyone has a story where they're like, well, I'm vaccinated, but my aunt she'd like to be vaccinated, but she can't because of cancer, because of pregnancy, because of whatever. Right. So it's not an aspersion that you're just a jerk who won't get a vaccine. There's also, we all know, we've historically, there are reasons that are very, very dark and bad why certain groups and, you know, ethnicities in our country don't want a jab, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's just kind of like, it is what it is. And if you can't get a vaccine, like, unfortunately, the alternative to protect yourself is to remain masked. If you've got a disease that it would be really, really bad for you to be in a bar anyways, it's not the place for you, period. It just isn't.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. Oh, man. So, this article is, it's good. This is a great introduction to, like, you know, the meat of the episode. But
Right, because I'm sitting here going, like, and then once again, because our stupid sheriff here in L.A., Villanueva, went on Fox and Friends immediately and was like, I'm not going to enforce it. You know, he's such a piece of shit. And it's like, okay, sure, go back to, like, fucking shooting rubber bullets at protesters.
Whatever. You can't be an employee in the Fox News building unless you're vaccinated, FYI.
That too. How
ironic. Am I right?
Yeah.
The whole list of Trumpy people, top to bottom, everyone who touts Trump but are the number one causes for half of the country being very, very scared to get this vaccine, they are all top to bottom, both doses in for months on end. So just really think about that. If someone who is fully inoculated is telling you not to do it, there's a political reason behind it, not one based in actual care about your well-being. So sorry, I know people get annoyed when we go into this, but this shit ain't going away.
Should we go into the next super happy headline
we could go past it. Here's what I wanted to say. Jokingly, okay, so today is Wednesday. We record on Wednesdays. And it is National Junk Food Day. Okay, yay. Love it. Quick caveat to that. So right now, for a couple of weeks, Frito-Lay workers in Kansas have been striking because of barbaric work conditions, people dying and having heart attacks on the line, being literally dragged off and replaced with a new worker, like not even pausing to make sure, you know, that everyone has like a welfare check to take a break, have a sip of water. 80-hour work weeks, people's mental health is being impacted because they haven't had a day off away from the plant for 5 fucking months. People are going home and destroying their families, their relationships, or killing themselves. Like, it is a dire situation. So on National Junk Food Day, I beg you, indulge in everything other than Frito-Lay and PepsiCo products. Mm-hmm. Let me yell this out real quick, okay? If you're not certain, okay. And I was eating Cheetos for breakfast, you guys, so I'm already a fuck up and guilty. And I was my God.
For 364 days, you're bad. But today you'll be good.
Today I'll be with your breakfast. But for right now, the way you can show solidarity and support, and I will also post it on our Instagram, but that means, Brooke, fucking stop it with the Cheetos, Fritos, Tostitos, Ruffles, Doritos, Lay's, Smart Food, Sunchips, Stacy's, Funyuns, Santitas, there's Rolled Gold, Munchies, Nut Harvest, Grandma's, something or other, Cracker Jack, Matador, Cap'n Crunch, Aunt Jemima, Chewy, Quaker Life, Bear, it's state fucking Sabra Hummus, Naked Chips. It's fucking crazy. So go do the research, but this is a really, really important labor strike happening, and the union is going to sit down with corporate office, you know, the corporate heads at Frito and demand better work conditions. No one's had a raise in like 30 years. It's really, really bad. So
yeah, they call the insane shifts suicides, like when you're working 84 hours a week, because like it'll slowly kill you over time. Not to toot me own horn, but I don't have any of this bullshit ever.
I really I'm just a really gross person who eats Cheetos.
I love Cheetos. They're I'm not, but not.
Oh,
you know,
and Starbucks. You got to cut it out with the Starbies for a minute. But the bottled beverages. Starbucks is not outright owned by Frito-Lay and PepsiCo. They are their own, right? Fuck. I don't know. I got to look into that. But I really stopped with the Starbucks about a year ago. No, I don't have a problem with them. I'm just saying that was a personal. And no Pepsi. And you guys put down your Mountain Dew, okay?
Don't do the Dew.
Because I look at all the empty Mountain Dew bottles in my trash can. Sorry,
hey,
guys.
Hey. Just, you know what? Just today's a new day. Just shed light on that.
Yeah.
And just know that even your junk food has blood on its hands.
Blood on its hands. Not hopefully not Takis. I love my Takis. Anyways. Okay.
I prefer silent films. I'm not gonna.
Okay, so that was headline/self-righteous corner. It's not self-righteous. It's just like, God, there's just a lot of stuff to be done. What can we say?
Just a little top show rants. Little top show decompress.
Hey,
you know, what do you want to do?
Here's something fun. This happened right before I got on to record with y'all. I went to go support a local coffee shop for my local iced coffee because I ran out of everything here. Didn't want to do the whole 20-minute fucking French press ordeal that I did. And I was like, I'm going to fucking run out. It's coffee time. The coffee they gave me tasted like water. And I was like, sat in my car and is like, I really don't want to be that person who goes back, complains, says the coffee is not strong enough. I was like, what? Pick your words, Brooke. Pick your words.
Was it chicken soup?
It was not chicken soup. Thank God. Although I know, because it's just like, it's also the barista who's like the really cool brusque guy who you're like, I don't want to make him mad. You do the dance where you always try and stay on that barista's side. And I was like, I got to do it. I'm fucking tired. We're about to podcast. I need caffeine. This sucks. And so I was like, hey, could I get a redo? Blah, blah, blah. That goes fine. And I'm like, oh, fine. Great. I'm running behind. Got to get out of here. Back straight into a DoorDash car and crunch their passenger door into their rat row. But fuck DoorDash. Am I right? You know, they're
it's definitely all DoorDash's fault. This whole thing.
Right. Thank you. What kind of karma does that say about me, though, that I backed into a DoorDash guy and now my insurance policy's all a titter? Anyways, well, guys, should we get into some server
submitted
stories?
All right, guys, first story. Here we go. So me and this other server decided we would have a Red Hat Lady themed table purse hooks made and sell them to our shitty Red Hat Society guests. We went around asking all the staff if they wanted to invest in our future $1 million company, but wouldn't tell them what it was. Just that it was a once in a lifetime opportunity to get in on the ground floor of something new. We kept it up for an entire month being stone-faced serious. Never got any investors, and we never made the purse hooks, but we had a grand time with our inside joke. Tiana, this is the most random.
I know. I don't know if it's Tanaya, anyways. Either way, she was driving to Mexico, messaging us on Instagram. She's like, I have got a story to tell you, but let me drive to Mexico first. And I just love that because we all know, it's been a minute. Have you seen anyone bring their table hook for their purse?
Yes, I have seen those. Not for a very, very, very long time. I feel like it was like a 90s, like early aughts situation. Like maybe your mom accidentally or on purpose in the strangest way got you one for Christmas. And you're like, what the fuck am I ever going to do with this weird thing? And then it just sits in your closet for years. I feel like it's like that kind of gift.
Because I'm just like, I get that my purse will remain clean, but my dignity is actually going to be on the floor when I attach a device to the side of a table.
I do kind of like when I go to bars and there's not hooks there, I always go, oh, if only there were something I could have in my purse that would hook my purse up to the bar when there is no hook.
Well, I bring a hammer and nails or like I usually carry a small drill.
Yeah, I typically carry a very large hat rack in my trunk.
Exactly. And I'll go get it. And they're very inexpensive. You can get them at the hardware store. Just two screws and a nice little hook. And, you know, the bartender just hears like, you know, and they're like, what are you up to? And I'm like, I'm improving the bar. Okay. And the customer experience. But yeah, I would
personally
rather
just
that.
Like to have my own other chair that no one else can use. That's for my stuff, and and that's my that now that's mine.
I will say that there is as a lady, you know, who's just like, I literally was like, okay, I'm learning. Next time I go to like a fun like watching like. We were watching like Euro Cup, you know, or World Cup or shit like that. It's like, don't bring all your shit. There's not going to be any space for it. Wear a fanny pack. That's just going to be my new move.
Well, that's the new world now anyway. You have to bring like teeny tiny things everywhere into bars now because like no one wants to touch your gross shit.
Yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm. But Jarrett, probably as a guy who usually carries a wallet, right? You're not familiar. Mm. Ladies, we have to do this like very weird. You sit down and then you start like fondling beneath the bar. You have to do this really weird hug and you're running your arms up and down looking for a hook. And then instead you just get a splinter and like a piece of gum and a fucking phlegm wad on your hand. And you're like, I guess no hooks. But now I have a staph infection.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when someone tells you that if you put your purse on the floor, it's bad juju. Like, you don't ever forget that. Like, you're not supposed to put your purse directly under the ground because apparently it's bad luck or bad form. I don't know. You'll be cursed. Like, you get a curse put on you. These are things you just don't forget. So, not that I wouldn't invest in this, but I think it's the hilarity. Well, I love the hilarity of an inside joke, which I've said over and over and over. The dumbest shit that you and your work spouse ensuing all night long because all you got is each other. That's what
happens. Like when you're so like on autopilot with the job that you can have a whole running gag going while you're actually serving and executing orders.
It's my faves.
And you're playing Shark Tank the entire shift, and it is what it is.
Hello, do you want to invest?
All right, I've got one coming in this way. This is really fun. There's going to be a lot to unpack here. So, scoot over, server submitted stories. This is Tales from an HR Lady.
Oh, wow.
I know. I was like, oh, shit. Okay. Today is the 10-year anniversary of my first day in human resources. I'm all up in my feels and knew it was time to write to my favorite podcast and tell you why I hate/love working with restaurants. She says, retail schmetail, restaurants are straight traumatic for everyone involved. Having spent the entire 10 years supporting a variety of restaurants, it never ceases to amaze me how truly low the bar people think it is for restaurant workplace culture. We can do better. And we're looking at you, sleazy managers. So she says, restaurant workers of the world, listen up. You deserve fair and harassment-free workplaces. If one of the line cooks grabs your ass, it ain't cool. It's fucked up. If a customer demeans you, your boss is actually supposed to take action. If they don't, it's fucked up. If a supervisor just stops scheduling you, it's actually not okay. It's fucked up. If there is no HR or anyone to support you in what the fuck to do about it, find a new gig. We would all have to walk off our jobs, unfortunately. Okay, so she says, I can't tell you how many sexual harassment interviews I've conducted, but it's a lot. So for the love of sweet baby tuxedo wearing Jesus, don't be those people. Don't make me sift through video to watch you throw a condom away on the security footage you didn't know existed, or read the 1,000 dirty text messages you sent each other. I don't love asking an employee, did you tell her you were going to fuck her better than she's ever been fucked before?
Oh,
no.
Wow. Yeah. Ooh, this is so real. This is like so real.
Have you ever told any employee you were going to fuck them better than they've ever been fucked before with a straight face? But you know what? I fucking do because I'm a goddamn professional. That, and I'm so desensitized to shenanigans, I've developed the sick superpower where nothing surprises me anymore. You hear that, restaurants? I'm devoid of bewilderment. So great. She says, I had an incredibly high dishwasher follow a customer out of the bathroom and yell, stop looking at my Johnson in front of the whole dining room. Whoa. Right. Okay. Literally, he followed the poor guy all the way back to where his family was sitting. Sorry, kids. I had to discipline a prep cook who rode his bicycle to work and parked in the front row customer parking spot every day.
That's baller. I mean,
I repeat, bicycle. I had to have a conversation with the front of house manager who called off for an entire weekend and came back with all four of her front teeth removed. Wow. I never got a clear answer on what happened then, but it was definitely not board certified dentistry. There was the employee who brought her two fucking cats in a box to work. And then that fateful Sunday when a line cook was singing at the top of his lungs right in the face of a female coworker. She didn't care, but her server boyfriend sure did. Nothing like a fist fight during brunch. Hollandaise and garnish everywhere. You love to see it.
Wow.
Woo. Okay, here we go. Right. I have also, though, watched an entire staff pitch in to take care of a server recently diagnosed with cancer. I know sometimes family meal is the best meal an employee might have, and with the only family they have. That is a very sweet, goosebumpy, poignant sentence. So she said, I watch as kids grow up and leave because they graduate and as older employees retire or relocate, and I love when they come back to visit. All to say, stay weird, restaurants. You have been my best days and my worst days, but always keep it interesting. Godspeed, good tips, and please stop fucking touching each other, NHR lady. And she says, P.S., love the pod. You cry or drink in the walk-in, but on my tough days, I escape to eat Arby's in my car and listen to the Sidework podcast. Laughing along with you almost makes me feel like my life is normal. Okay, so if any of you need advice or have a questionable workplace situation, holler at your girl. Happy to weigh in on how fucked it is and what the fuck you can do about it.
Wow.
And she says, I know. I'm like, this is going to be a resource. We have to have ask an HR lady. Okay. The answer is going to be, that's fucked up. So she says, please put me in the submission protection program. Don't use my real name or email address. Don't worry. She says, I still have all that professional bullshit to worry about. So, wow. I am so glad. I am so glad that this person decided to write in because yes, we will field these questions for you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. First, this is very, very real.
Yeah.
I am very triggered by someone telling me like stone face, like how they're going to fuck me and how like, and me being a 19-year-old girl and me being like, what's happening? Somebody help me. Like that's absolutely happened to me when I was a kid, a child, you know?
Yeah, no, it's crazy. And when you're young, just in general, you are not aware of your rights in the world, period. You know, they don't really like to set us up for success.
No,
they don't. That's amazing. All right, guys. So if you guys want to send in stories, some HR questions, ask an HR professional, you can hit us up, sideworkpod@gmail.com.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right. So let's get into our topic of the day. We are 134 episodes in and only now thought to cover bouncers, doormen, and security. But it's for a reason. It's because the worlds have collided and we got one of our friends and listeners, Jarrett Hayes, to join us for the podcast and tell us all about it from his point of view, because it's his profession.
One of.
Not the only. Right.
Which I think is like one thing you find out with people who do are bouncers. Like they do, they all do, everybody does several things, right?
Oh, or
they,
absolutely.
Everybody has many jobs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I have three. One, I am a production assistant for a leather company here in Atlanta. I also work door at two different bars on the opposite ends of the same area in Atlanta as well. So, and I have stories for days.
Oh boy.
The most recent one was as of last night. So
it's fresh, folks.
Oh, very fresh.
It's fresher than a DoorDash delivery. I'll tell you that much. Hello. Real quick, leather production assistant.
Yes.
How interesting. Like, so give us a quick rundown. What the fuck? Cool. I'm interested.
Yeah. But basically, it's a company in Atlanta, not far from where I live. and they were looking for assistance because production started to pick up a lot more. And basically, I helped with building bags and other little things like card wallets.
I want one. I love card wallets.
Ooh. I'll send you the link to their store and whatnot after this. But yeah, it's a pretty cool place. And I'm not going to give the name, but I just like the
it's a scary movie.
I'll give you all that after this. But it's a pretty cool place and we get along very well. Everyone's just sitting there laughing and talking most of the time. And
it must be a nice change from like bouncing too. Oh, you know what I mean? It must be nice to break it up.
Yeah.
I would imagine. Woo! Yeah, just the smell of leather as opposed to the smell of vomit and booze, which is very real.
Yes, it is.
But bouncing into a little bit of the history of bouncers. So the word bouncer was first popularized in a novel called The Young Outlaw, which was published in 1875. In chapter 14, entitled Bounced, a boy is thrown out of the restaurant because he has no money to pay for his dinner. An 1883 newspaper article stated that the bouncer is merely the English chucker-outer, which, you know, that's a fun term to be called. Like, hi, can you be our chucker-outer?
Can you chuck this person out of here? Hey, can we get a chucker? Yeah, I like bouncer better. I think it's the bar patrons who end up being the chuckers. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, you're kind of an umpire, too. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. You're out of here! Like, very much. Lord. Very similar.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's... the many arguments that I have to go through of just people just not doing the basic things, you know, but we'll get into that.
We'll unpack it.
Yes, because there's so much.
It's really something, you know, who knows? Maybe this will maybe we can squeak two episodes out of it too. But you know, it's the bouncer, so aka your doorman, your door supervisor, it's a type of security guard, right? So and you can be employed at venues such as bars, nightclubs, cabarets, strip clubs would be a huge one, casinos, hotels, billiard halls, restaurants, sports events, obviously, and concerts. So these are all details that you could qualify to be working at. And basically, you know, the big things that you do, you are providing security, you are trying to check people at the door for legal drinking age, and to sort of be a big tough babysitter for folks who can't hold their liquor and need to be booted. Yep. So, and I don't know what your situation is, but you can be hired directly by the venue, or you can be sort of pooled like from a security staffing firm.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah. All my jobs I got via word of mouth from an employee at that venue, at that particular bar or restaurant. So, yeah, that's how I got in.
And they say just in general that basically if you are going to be a door guy, probably a good reputable one, you are required to have training, licensing, and like a really thorough background check.
That is for like the bigger venues that will require like such things. Like the places that I work is just chill, laid back. People come in, people go out, just make sure that everyone's okay, safe, and not inebriated to the point where you have to intervene.
That's nice.
And
I feel like when you're at a place like that, you're like, it's like you don't even use the word bouncer. You're like, yeah, there's a guy carding at the door. That's like what I call you. I'm like, it's the guy.
Yeah, you're the door guy.
That's when you're the door guy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I feel like sometimes that, you know, in my experience is more of like when the place is busy. So like on a Monday or Tuesday night, you know, when it's slower, you may or may not need that extra set of hands or eyes or ears, you know, just like overseeing the place. Whereas like on the weekends when things are popping, you absolutely need that help at the door.
Oh, absolutely.
It's too much for the bartender to do those extra steps of confirming your age and then serving and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So it's a really, really vital function to really assist the bar staff.
Yeah, and it's basically to streamline, just to, you know, take that time out to actually check IDs. So, yeah.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's like you're kind of like you're like a house mom of a sorority. You know what I mean? Yeah. In a way, you're just making sure everybody's having a safe enough good time. Like you're just like, yeah, you're fine. Go in, go right. have fun. Like and, you're yeah. not.
And you're there to like really facilitate and assist the flow. You know, the legality of patrons coming in and out of the bar. You're there mm-hmm. to keep the bar staff safe. But let's be honest too. You have mm-hmm. incidents where patrons are bugging each other, and that. I'm sure more often than not is a situation that you got to keep an eye on. And it's you're the person we look to for help many times. Like where to mm-hmm. some people, you're a villain. To many, many others, you're a fucking hero, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Some famous, infamous bouncers that Brooke put here. Al Capone, which that what didn't that guy do, huh?
Right.
Huh?
Yeah, tell me about it.
I don't want to go into any bar he's at the front door of personally. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the smell was not good. I'm sure he was a stinky guy. Michael Clark Duncan, the doy, was a bouncer. I'm mm-hmm. sure that is obvious to everybody. And James Gandolfini, just a few people who are famous. He worked at as a bouncer at an on-campus pub while studying at Rutgers for acting. So and I have a handful of friends that have just like honestly, and I think bouncers like use two ways too, like you were saying, like that, you know, you bounce people, but you bounce around from bar to bar a lot as a bouncer. Like mm-hmm. you can hop around and do it at different places. But yeah. primarily, though, a pretty male-dominated field, wouldn't you guys say? I don't really see many lady bouncers out there.
Well, I actually live with one because I got her a job at one of the bars that I work at because
yeah!
And she was looking for something as well. And she actually has experience working at one of the bigger concert venues on the outskirts of town. And I was like, well, we're hiring over here. And she was like, let me know. I want to get it. And I was like, all right. And now she's there. So yeah.
That's thank you for, you know, it's an assumption that we're always willing to be proven wrong because, you know, we keep seeing, you know, what we like to call like a male dominated field and a lot more women saying, I want to see it at the table, even though this is something that might not sound appealing to many women, to plenty of others. It does. Mm-hmm. You know, we have another listener, Liriel, who we want to talk to about the fact that she also works at a bar as security in and around California. So there's always an exception to the rule, and we could see this field growing. Also, I'd be such a great door person.
Oh, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I would be like, I'd be like, you need to be cool. Okay.
I would
have one in there, but don't disappoint me.
Yeah, that's my whole thing is I wouldn't want to disappoint Andrea. There's like I think as women we can get like a real psychological game going with you too, you know? Mm. Like you don't want to make me upset. Yeah. I know I look small, but I'm mean and I'm fast and I bite, you know. Anyways,
I'm getting so many feels right now of like having my ID ready and like wanting to do a really good job for like the person I have to show my ID to and like smiling and then never getting a smile back and be like, hi. And they're just like, yeah, whatever. Where's your shit? Like, or if I fumble and I can't find it, I'm like, sorry. And then like, you know, they're immediately like, whatever, who's behind you? Like you can just, I don't have time for this. You know, hand it to me when you get it. So I always want to do a really good job when I
let's start there. Probably all as people who have passed a fake ID along to someone checking them at some point in our lives. How good would you say you are, Jarrett, at spotting a fake?
I am fairly okay. I know I could get better, but for the most part, I'm okay. One of the easier ones to spot is a Texas ID.
Okay.
Because on the back of it, there and one of the statements on the back, the I isn't dotted.
Okay.
So if the I is dotted, it's a fake.
Interesting. And whoever is like manufacturing these kind of fucked up.
Yeah, pretty much. And the harder ones is it might have been a few years ago now, but the South Carolina IDs, they were pretty much paper. Oh. So you would think that it was like laminated paper. So you would think that it's a fake, but it turns out it's actually real. And that was verified by one of the places that I was a server at.
Okay.
And we thought it was a fake. He told him it was a fake, but there was another customer from South Carolina who had basically the same ID. So we were like, oh, we're sorry. So, you know, everything was fine from that moment on. But
what does that say about South Carolina? Jeez, come on, invest in some plastics, y'all.
And now, like everybody has to have a real ID now, right? Is that right? Yeah. That's so.
Oh,
that's,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that really gets under people's skin. It's like, I don't have my ID with me, but I got a photo of it on my phone. And I'm like, no, we cannot take photo IDs because that could be just anybody or just anybody.
I was told I could use my Costco card to fly. Does that mean I can come in and drink in your establishment and pee all over your toilet seat?
No, not at all.
I mean... Yeah, to be fair, you know, because like back in the day, I mean, the move was if you could find an ID or get a hand-me-down of someone who even just looked remotely like you, because it's ballsy just making a full-on fake one. I went by just trying to look sort of like the person in the picture who was like a 28-year-old from downriver, and I was, I think, 19 years old at that point, you know, probably 19 or 18. But it's so funny because, yes, like there was a window in time where now we've got a unified sort of real ID situation where you can scan it, swipe it, that whole shit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But then there was this probably race against, you know, your acuity for picking this out where people were getting really good at Photoshop. Not in my day. You would go stand in this room where someone had made a life-size cardboard cutout with Michigan identification in it and had a blue velvet backdrop. Wow. And you would stand between the cardboard and the backdrop and hold still. And then they would take your picture in that and then, like, you know, laminate it, cut it out, stamp it, seal it.
Incredible.
Yeah. But they made a lot of money doing that. But now, but then, yeah, like I was old enough. You know, I've been old enough for 20 years at this point. So,
yeah,
I mean, so, you know, you've got someone who coming in, they might have ID, but they certainly have a $20 bill they're throwing at you. How do bribes work in your world?
Well, for me, I pretty much go for the no bribe more times than not. Mm-hmm. You know, no matter how hungry I am, no matter how far back behind the bill I am, I will more times than not take a bribe. That's not to say that I've never taken a bribe.
Sure.
I'm, you know, I would, you know, when you're young and dumb, right?
But absolutely.
Yeah, like for example, this guy was completely joking ultimately at the end, but he was saying, like, hey man, I'm just again joking. He was like, I'm 17 years old. If I give you 500 right now, would you let me in? I was like, Nope. You can't do it. You cannot, but he was of age and he showed me his ID. He was just joking, but that's annoying.
You're like, I'm not like
to say
I'm not a rich troll. Like this isn't like riddles and game time, my friend.
And also, and you know, just to go down a list of some things, quit asking the bouncer, how old do you think I look? Or how old do you think I am?
Yeah, it's not like an assessment against you to have to like prove your age. Nobody gives a shit, dude.
Exactly. Like,
just be 21 or older and you're fine. Calm the fuck down.
And I think the response moving forward, Jarrett, when people do that, the across the board response from all doormen and doorwomen is not a day over 65. when someone asks, how old do you think I look? Oh, you know?
My go-to answer has always been when they say, how old do you think I am? I always say 12. You look like you're 12.
You look like you're 12.
Yes.
Yeah, but the government says you're okay. Have a great time, kiddo.
Exactly.
I think, you know, as far as like the door and handling the door, that's one thing. But being inside and like having to deal with like confiscating drugs, people who might have like illegal things, like how is that something? I mean, it's probably you're probably finding drugs and also having to take them away from people, I would imagine.
Oh, God. Like, yeah. That usually comes about when it's brought to my attention by one of the staff, because I'm just there to check IDs and basically make sure that no one's bringing in cigarettes, because you cannot smoke in bars in Atlanta unless you're like grandfathered in into where you can still allow it. That's beyond me. You also are not supposed to bring in outside drinks either.
Right, so, right. Policing that shit.
Yeah. So basically, those are the two main things that I'm looking for is if someone's trying to sneak in alcohol or sneak in nicotine sticks. And if they're smoking weed or something, I tell them, like, just take it outside, mm-hmm. you know, don't bring it in. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, there was a series of death to fentanyl laced, I think it was coke.
Oof.
Yeah. And oof. One of them was, happened to be a very respected guy in the community of where I used to work. And there was like 4 deaths in one night from this batch. And now everyone's learning how to use the what is it called?
Narcan.
Yes, the Narcan. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I think this week at one of my jobs, they are going to have a display and a show for us to learn how to use it.
Wow! So and, you don't have someone like die in your That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, it is. And but that's the thing about it is like, there's a comedian who actually did a whole thing about different sides of the cities of Atlanta. And one of them was about East Atlanta and where is you cannot find cocaine. And it's one of the funniest things that you'll ever see. He actually had to redo it because the original video was taken down because it was encouraging the sale of illegal substances. So he had to redo it to where it's like not the sale of illegal substances. So, but it was so funny. But yeah, it's like everywhere. And the thing about it, all these drug dealers in the city are some of the most respected people in the bar culture and the bar community. So they'll get they're the regulars that will come in and get a drink or a drink or two, but
that might be where they sell. That's like one of their main distribution areas. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like when it comes to drugs, I honestly want to see like some sort of better like eye for it all around, but at the same time, that one's definitely going to be a phantom that you're basically trying to find and pin down.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it's bigger than you in a way. You know,
like, please, you are the door guy. You are not the DEA. This is not your fucking bar. This is not your fucking establishment. So I really do think, you know, people should practice a healthy dose of, if I didn't see it, it didn't happen.
Yeah,
or just this is look just, the other way when
absolutely.
It comes.
This is just bar culture, like generally, like people are going to be doing coke in the bathroom. People are going to fucking light up a cigarette when they're not supposed to. People are going to, these are just like nightly things that occur like on every shift you have, you know, but like I think,
and the staff is doing it, you know, I mean,
yeah it's an accepted thing, but like, you know, but I think it's like if it's more in your face, you know, just straight up like refusing entry, right? That's kind of more what it is.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, guys, for listening to part 1 of Bouncers. We'll be back next week with more on the topic from Jarrett. Until then, send those server-submitted stories our way, sideworkpod@gmail.com. And you know what we say at the end of every episode, Godspeed and good tips. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye. Thank you.